episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
Good evening, good day, good night, etc., etc. Welcome to Bongversations, episode number 48, on the 19th of May down in Australia, and the 18th for Dave in Arizona. For now, probably. Yeah, Dave.
Yeah.
Episode number 48. What the heck are we going to talk about?
Well, what's nice also out here is in Arizona, we don't do any of that daylight savings time stuff.
So oh, no, we do.
You never change the clock. It makes a big difference. It just happens. You just kind of move.
Time stands still, as you mentioned last week on the Bongversation 47.
Speaking of last week, we spoke about Tron Ares. This is just total geek news, but almost as soon as the movie comes out, there's already a leak in the geek news on Geekly Wire that Tron 4 has been canceled. I'm like, wait, Tron 3 just comes out 10 minutes ago, and they're like, oh, I didn't make enough money, it's canceled. And
already?
And what this is it's to get the geeks in a
frenzy.
To cause this false swell and even interest. Because what happens is people will say, oh, I'll just wait and watch it on the whatever. Oh, they're going to cancel it. Then they jump. There's more motivation to go see the product. So it's just a marketing thing. But because there was really 20 plus years between the first and the second. But nowadays the attention span's such that with AI and all that nonsense and what's called AI, you could pump out Tron 4 in under a week if you just kept it kind of in the computer storyline, because, you know, you just need the dude to show up to do a couple things and boom, you got a movie. But the reason I want to see them put together Tron 4 is they really then can go into kind of the AI beyond the entrance, which we talked about in 47, and then go into, now we're talking about 48, because 48 is this idea of the well, and in kind of Chinese script writing, the well is not so much the well just being presented like we talked about last week with Jacob's well, but the well is a certain aspect of the well, and that's coming back up. So we talked about, like with 46 and 47, the going down. We talked about the descent in 46, so the bucket going down. 47 is the idea of the gathering. And 48, the combination with, let's just call it a Chinese symbol for the same, would be that of the well, but directly with withdrawing from the well or bringing up what you've captured, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can see as each, just like I talked last week about the Iliad, that type of problem, is that it's not that it's a problem, it's just that you can't just segregate each thing by itself. Each thing is related to the last thing and is related to the next thing. So you have to find the commonality.
Yep.
So that's what we've been moving through. So if you look at, for example, 48, just look through scripture for an idea of what you might see and then compare it in the so-called real world to what you find. So let's say, for example, Matthew 4, just if you would just go to 4:8, that's speaking about when the devil is taking Christ up to an exceeding high mountain and showing the kingdoms of the world. So now then that's then showing you the idea of kind of temptation, earthly temptations, like a success story. So this well, or this idea that you're bringing from the well, is this idea of success, all right, or whatever that entails. So then if you go to, let's say, Mark 4:8, it's talking about where that seed or where that idea lands. Does it land on good ground, and does that yield good fruit and bring forth, you know, plenty? Because then you know the opposite of that and what might happen. So you see how then that now the 4:8 is already being represented as a well, but in the withdrawing function, or just before you're going to drink it, which is coming up, and will eventually bleed into 50, which is the balance. So we're getting there, but you can see how these ideas stretch through even language, how just because you might use the same word, well.
Yeah. It's part of our lexicon.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can see it's 46, 47, 48. It's down, capture, pull up. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. You know, that kind of like when you're dancing. 1, 2, 3. And 1, 2.
The cha-cha. So,
yeah. So it's like, and I was thinking, I was speaking with Percy in the Discord about Star Forts, and I was just going to 48 and how Star Forts just so happened to interact. Well, there's a Frenchman, and this is, of course, all now storyline through the idea of warfare. Now, there's this idea that if you have a star fort or an encampment, that you need 48 days exactly to basically starve them out, to have them surrender. And he specifically laid out that you need 48 days. It's a very specific pattern. And so when I was thinking, if you take that and you strip away what you know is false about the narrative, strip away the idea that it's about warfare. Strip away the fact that it's about protecting against these marauders and this type of idea. And then just look at what's being presented. For example, Fort McHenry, and you would know that from the Star Spangled Banner fame.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, so Fort, say, can yeah, you see?
So they have the on that star fort specifically. If you look at it, you can barely throw a football in that thing. You know, if you're out.
So you've been there. So you've been there. You've been to this place.
Yeah, been to a few. Now the one I'm going to speak about specifically and directly ties into the Statue of Liberty, but it's down in St. Augustine. So we'll talk about three, but they're all generally. I'm going to get to the point of about these, but they're really very small. They're very small. And guess what? If you can't have a military base that's close to the water, but not on the water, meaning that you can't leave your back end exposed. So once you see the layout of these things, you know that even that doesn't make any sense. So you have to, once you look at something and you look at the story given to you, look at it, and does it present itself as that is, and you'll see that it doesn't. So if it's not that, then what is it there for? What's the point?
Interesting.
Of it? Yeah. Okay. So then now let's dismiss all that and then just look at it and say, now what is it actually presenting? So if I look at a star fort, I see something quite interesting. I see, for example, a protective rings, and these rings are very specific in that they're laid out just like you would lay out in, let's say, the Lesser Key of Solomon and magic books like that, or really any magic book, even John Dee's type of
magic. Enochian magic.
You need to look at these things from above, slightly above, and you're going to see the actual interlocking patterns. Now, for example, the Star Spangled Banner place, the Fort McHenry, that's going to have, what does it have? It has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It has 5 basically extensions or points All right, so it's a five-pointed star. So it's going to be the idea of a pentagram, all right?
Yep.
Or the idea of a pentagon. So it's just an early version of the same thing. Now, a pentagon goes in, it goes into protection magic. So,
you're listening to Bongversations 48. Back in a minute.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Conversation 48 with Dave, Jay, and Rick, and we're talking about Star Force and Fort McHenry. So sorry about that, Dave.
Yeah, so we're now. So for that one, for example, of course, you're going to have the crew that brings in these stories. So the Star Spangled Banner, the fight that never was, this fort that's obviously not more than it's not been around that long. You can just see that. However, you look at then the society or the people who brought it to you, and they go back to these different clubs. Let's say the Hellfire Club. You also have another club that goes into the Anunnaktik type of society, which is what used to be called gentlemen's clubs.
Yeah, so Ben Franklin was in the history of these things as part of that Hellfire.
Yeah. So he was a Hellfire, and you have this Anunnaktik type club, and this is all of course through the so-called 1790s and 1800s, and of course these were called gentlemen's clubs before the Poles and the women, because this would have been the idea when men were interesting, you know, so they could have something to talk about. Now dudes have nothing to talk to each other about, so they just, a gentlemen's club is not the same definition today as it was before. So these jokers now, but they also then, this is where the idea of the debauchery comes in. This is where you have the Masonic art of riding the donkey, riding the mule, riding the fool, or being the fool in particular.
Yeah. The jester.
Yeah, the jester or the fool, because that's riding the zero. The first card of the major arcana is the fool, or it's the zero. So you can see that that's the 110 or the idea of the bit turned off. So within all of this magic, and these buildings are nothing. And these buildings, just so you know, are these circles are in fact indications of protection or spells. So if you have a city or a town that is built in a star fort fashion, it has nothing to do with the idea of stopping, you know, some marauding army. It has to do with spiritual protection.
Wow, that's fascinating.
Yeah. So all and each shape then represents specific, let's just say, powers. And now, just so you know, why these characters are doing this is because if you look at, not all star forts are some have been around for a while. And some are, let's just say, new or newer. So you have a group of people who have put out Mud Flood, different stories.
Tartaria.
Yeah. So, and they kind of confuse those two, because Tartaria and Mud Flood they're two different things, really. Tartaria is speaking about an actual place that used to be on a map, which is kind of Asia area.
That's right. It's
on old, but Mud Flood is a representation of how you can then find buildings that are submerged or needing to be dug out. And what I find most interesting about that is most of those who are into that are either one of two things. They're either agnostic or atheist in fashion, or they are somehow claimed to be somehow religious, Catholic of some sort, or they'll claim Christ is king. No, not so much Gnostic. Gnostic don't really worry about stuff like that. Christ is king. Physical people who are in physical, in this physical place, but who are wealthy or are doing well by this place, because they'll look into this, and if they simply looked at the evidence and said, okay, if I looked at the first, if even stories across the board that the first time this place was taken out, there was a so-called flood, or even if it's the first time that you know creation happened, flood waters receded, and then you only and then as Earth showed itself, men and women, or I should say male and female, or men and women, depending on what side of creation you choose, then spread across the land again. Now, if you notice, Rick, that there's some areas, let's say Machu Picchu, for example. Yep. Which are indicated to say, why did these people put this stuff on top of this hill, which makes no sense? Well, it makes perfect sense if you then look at the universe as the shape of the human eye, and if it's been flooded and all that exists is water and air, and then as the water then is starting to, as pressure, you know, the atmospheric pressure changes and it pushes the water back down, as land exposes itself, if the water table is not settled, and it hasn't been, it's now settled now because we're kind of at the end of so-called time, and you're settled at 720 bars, the 7-2 code, obviously. So once you're there, you see, but so let's say this year, the water line's here, and so you build your little fort or whatnot, and then all of a sudden you see that the water level keeps dropping and dropping and dropping over the years. And pretty soon, like, we got to bounce. Because now the water is way down there. So now we got to move and build our place somewhere else. So that's why you're going to have these different kind of outposts kind of left up in the hills, kind of sitting in the middle of nowhere. Because at one point they weren't, there was either captured lakes there, which over time dissipated just because there wasn't any hard or no foundational stone to keep it there. So they it sieved, like, you know, just a simple sieve. It sieved out and it just gave out. And then that's how all that stuff gets explained, because you just simply need to look across the plain at different elevation levels, and you'll see that as the water table drops, the usability of the land decreases and people have to migrate or move from place to place. The only people that get left in those barren areas wind up being the what's known as so-called natives
and indigenous.
And yeah. Even there's even a Maori, what is his name now, I'll come up with it, but there's a Maori who also says this. I know his first name's David, I do know that, but he's a Maori. He says the same thing, that the he discovered through his investigation, all of their so-called culture is all made up, that they were brought there. Just like I told you before, people are brought places and dropped and given land and said, you can, it's fertile and they use it and they do all this. But after a few generations, either the people get lazy, the kids didn't have to work, so they get lazy, just like it still happens now, and they lose, and you know, shysters come in and take all their land from them, and then they wind up, you know, hat in hand, you know, claiming to be this native status. So even he's like saying, you know, it's all made up, it's all BS. Because I've told you before, the Native American stuff is all BS and a hoax. It's all,
yes, you've got some, have you still got YouTubes of this stuff out there?
I do.
Yeah,
it's all up. Yeah, that's called the Big Casino.
The Big Casino, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's called the Big Casino. And it's easy to tell once you look at it, because once you look at the so-called Indian and you say, you know, I could set that guy in Manila, or I could set him in Tokyo, or I can set him down in Mexico City, and he wouldn't look out of place.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, now I can kind of see where it's coming from. And now just start to push it back. And then now you see where everybody came from. The Indians are called Indians because they came from India. The so-called serpent and places like that is known, and why their religion, so-called, over there show the serpent and show that, and that they all are very similar, very, just with the slight differences, is because there is scripture talking about the serpent being tossed to the land called India, and that's in the Book of Adam and Eve.
Yes.
Chapter
which
18.
First day, which the theosophists are obsessed with India.
Yeah, absolutely. And so it all ties in. Oh, and another place they were fascinated with is Egypt. And now, speaking of let's go back before we get to Egypt, because this deals with the cat and how the cat comes in and how it ties in with 48. So let's go back to 48 and let's talk about some numbers. So simply, if you add 8 and 4, you get your 12. And of course, you know the power of 12, whether it be through constellations and all that, but also it reduces to 3, or the idea of the ring, the first ring, G or 7, the 3G7, 3, 6, 9. It also then, if you minus, you have your 4, which is your way in, your door, which is why these different star forts will start with a square, and then you're going to go ahead and wrap around that square. So the square's you have a circled square, and then that is your protection circle. And then it's going to have the points radiating out, depending on if it's a 3, a 4, a 5, a 7, or even 11 point, which is, let's say, the star fort, which is called Fort Wood, which is below the Statue of Liberty, so-called. That's a star fort as well. It's an 11 point. And now guess what's right above that 11 point star fort? It is a palladium, which we talked about
last week.
Palladium, which is holding the so-called Statue of Liberty, which is nothing more than a transvestite dude.
Yeah, that's right.
Have you seen it with the chains on the ankle? But also,
I totally agree.
Yeah. So you see then that's the power, and it's holding a light. And that light is that of Lucifer. Let's talk about this now, because this is where that well idea comes back. Because 48, there's a certain demon associated in the lesser key. It's called Hyginti. Now, this is very interesting.
How is that spelled?
You would spell it Hyginti.
Hyginti.
So now then, If you take, first of all, take a 7-letter anagram in there, you're going to see heating. Now, heating is the idea of power being applied. Power being applied is through, because Hyginti is he's called a whisperer. So then you have the light, or this fallen light that's being lifted to the story, and this is the whisper. Not just any whisper, because people will hear whispering. They'll hear in their head. Demons will whisper all the time. Remembrances of grievance or of things in the past they regret. That's not this one. This particular characteristic of Satan, his light Lucifer, is a very specific. This Hyginti power will give you this idea of knowledge. Of basically a false Sophia, like a false wisdom. That's different than to make you suffer. This one's going to give you this idea in your head that you think you know.
Well, there's an awful lot of, I think Hyginti's been doing some work on YouTube out there. There's a few YouTubers that are convinced that they're right.
And what they're going to do is this, and guess who this Hyginti, he's called the president of hell, just below so-called Satan.
Wow. So he's a fairly high up one, not your run-of-the-mill.
Yeah, and also kind of compare him to the orange man as being the president, this thing that goes around whispering, I'm doing all kinds of great things, blah, blah, blah. It's just like these high-tech characters that they tell you they're doing all these fabulous inventions, but when they speak to you or when they're speaking on camera, they don't sound very intelligent. Have you noticed that? Like when Elon Musk talks, he doesn't ever talk to you.
He doesn't. Yeah. And you're right. And that's a classic, great example of what you're talking about. He sounds stupid, but right. The general public, they think he's fantastic.
Yeah. So as somebody with a technical background, you're saying, well, tell me something technical. Tell me something, because I know how to balance and align a laser, for example, in a photolithography stage array. Talk to me about that. I'll know what you're saying. But he would have already gotten lost. He'd be like, what? What are you talking about? So then what's also this Hyginti, it's like whisper, this tone, is in command of, and this is quite important, the 33 legions. Now, this 33 legions is that very same 33 that you see popping up in news all the time.
Everywhere.
That's how close you are now. You now know what it's talking about. This is exactly what you're talking about. All right. Now, what Hajenti in simple gematria is 65. That's, of course, your 11. You remember we talked about that? That's that splinter. That's that connection back to last week. And then some of what we talk about today will touch next week. You see how it's a chain. One touches the other. So then that's your connection back to 11 we talked about. And even today's date, if you chopped off the year on your side, it's your 119, which ties into last week, which is your 11 backwards. Yeah. So then I know you're into kind of star signs and whatnot. So
yeah, I am. It's something I grew up studying and looking at, from a young age before I kind of woke right up.
Well, then you'll know kind of what some of this stuff is, because you know that the Tarot has the 22 major arcana and then there's 56 minor, right?
Yeah.
So if you have a major, so most people never get past the fool stage. So the major arcana played, so they get played the fool, which is the first card. But now they get put into the minor, 56. Then they get put into the minor leagues because they're not moving up. They're just running along the degrees. So now you're going to have 56 different degrees. So this Hajanti character coincides with the Seven of Cups. The Seven of Cups. Now the cups are the idea of these containments, because you can only have so many different cups in your head or of thought before one spills off the side and is forgotten about. You can have only so many ideas going around in your head and giving proper attention to before one falls off the back end. So that's kind of where this balance comes in. But also, just so you know, 65 also equals literally seven, spelled out S-E-V-E-N. That's where you can never, that's that one splinter I told you about. If you pay attention to it, you're never going to lose where you're at.
Yeah.
If you pay attention to the seven code, you're never going to lose where you're at, because you're always going to see it. And then you can just work your way back from it. It's also, it equals the word today, which is what tomorrow doesn't matter. Yesterday's past. Today is now. It's the seven. Yep. It's what's on your mind right at this very moment. It's also Janus. Now, remember, Janus is the two-face. It could be this. It could be that.
Yep.
So this is the point. This is like a decision point. The 48, the 8-8-8-8, which is 16-16, which is your 7-7, which is your 14-5, or your 5 balance. Your 32. I found that interesting about 32, because on the 32, if you take an angle for, let's say, on the Statue of Liberty, on the base where I told you it's a star fort, Fort Wood, if you take 11 points and if you then put them, what's the equal distance between and the 360 around, it's going to be 32.767, but seven. Let's just say 32.7 for the show. But there's your 32, which is your five. We just talked about the balance, which comes from this 48. And then you see then that your five is also your senses. So you can see that all of these buildings are quite intricate, occultic, really computers. Just
right.
The ground for you to unlock if you can see it. And I can see it. So it's quite easy to see. So now, before I forget, let's go to one of the... I went to another one in St. Augustine. And this is kind of what's interesting about these so-called star forts, is some are quite... have a mundane use. Like this, the one in St. Augustine, I would want to say was before a lighthouse. One, it's very small. There's not much to it. And it has four specific arrowhead points coming off of the main square. That's your four, because we're doing show 48. So now then, if you go in from those first four points, you're going to run into 8 points all the way around, if you're doing your math right. So that's your 48. right on the St. Augustine Starfort. Yep. And then guess what? It goes into a negative. Then the walls go inward and they go in negative, and then they go into a, they go into a negative eight, which then brings you what? It, eight from eight is zero. And so you have your four on the outside. You've zeroed it.
You're listening to Bongversations. Be right back.
No matter what your age,
you're listening to Conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now, back to the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
So number 48, we're talking about star forts, and Dave's telling amazing things. Keep going.
Yeah. Yeah, so, and then, of course, you have the center four. So it's the 44 or the 8 again, which is just a simple detail that show you that with the one in St. Augustine. I'll leave a picture in the video when we do it, or you can just look it up. You can see it's a, there's an obviously big square or a courtyard in the center. What I'm saying is that was simply where the Palladium was prior to, and then there was a lighthouse on top. It's not, it's pretty easy to see what it was used for. So then once you strip away the, and of course a light, and just like with the
Statue of Liberty,
the light, and or even with lighthouses, you're going to find out that they sit on these, and you have to look at them from above. They're going to sit on usually a square, and then there's going to be some other points, and you have to count the different points, and the depending on how many you count will determine what power is being asked for or asked to be influencing. It's usually going to be a thing of protection. The 11 points around the Liberty, that's a big one. That's really like four big points. It's for protection, it's for prosperity, it's for equality, it's for liberty. It's all the Masonic kind of talking points. And that's why it's such a, that's why it's such a massive, that's why it's 11 points. And if you remember where this plays in particular, kind of a little role, is that in the IPEC GOAT, they highlight the base plate of the Statue of Liberty as a, when they do a flyover, and I'll put it in the video, they do a flyover and they illuminate the base plate, the geometric patterns of the base plate, as we're doing right now, telling you that that's in fact what that's there for. It's sitting
highly recommended. If you haven't, anyone out there hasn't seen IPEC GOAT, the animation, that is really, really amazing stuff.
Yeah. And I should say this kind of with the idea of like fluid mechanics, which all this is, because we're speaking about fluid mechanics, and the fluid is going to be the flow of the mind. So within fluid mechanics in so-called the physical realm, you have what's called a laminar flow, and you can either have a laminar flow can be, you know, smooth and orderly, or it can be chaotic, it can be turbulent. So a Reynolds number of 48 is used in a lot of tech manuals as being an example of a meteor, or basically an ideal laminar flow number.
Yeah.
So this, and because although there's above that and below that are also laminar numbers, you just have a varying degree of quality before you get to the chaotic phase on either end. Again, when you get back to, because you go from chaos to laminar flow to chaos, and the chaos representative in a liquid would be flow, or called cavitation, and then in an airflow would just be simply, you probably deal with it when you're cleaning air ducts and things like that, how once it's been cleaned that your flow is stronger and smoother.
Just your car, the air conditioning in your car, just doing certain little things like that. Yeah.
Oh, and then before we move on, the last week we were talking about kind of the last few ones, we were talking about the different numbers and how those elements are used in semiconductor for certain functions, mostly for connectivity or conductivity. Cadmium, which is going to be your 48th element, is used in batteries. You're really dealing with a highly transferable property, meaning that it allows transfer easy.
Yeah.
This is important for the spiritual aspect, because also in, let's say, gears and gearing, for, let's say, robotics, you might use a 48-to-1. The more precise or the more teeth, the more precision you can have in your movement of robotics, because recall, especially in photolithography, is you have to account for hysteresis, which is that envelope, meaning that if you push it in a direction and then you pull it back, there's going to be a gap there. That's called hysteresis. That gap has to be accounted for. And remember, we talked about the gap last week. So the gap is always just that space that no matter how tight your tolerance is in this physical place, there's always going to be a gap or a place of hysteresis or hysteria, a place that chaos can be injected. That's not only in the physical place, but in the spiritual mind, or even in your spiritual place, which is your mind or your thought.
Yeah.
All right? So then remember like that, and so that's why most people get stuck in the fool card, and then they get wind up through the 56 cards of the minor, which is the wands, the cups, the swords, and the pentacles.
Yeah.
You know, so they're going through all the, and think of that as trials and tribulations of life, so-called. You know, because they never pass the fool stage, so that they can't learn from that. You can't learn from a fool, and you can't learn by being a fool.
And you go around in figure eights.
Yeah, figure eight. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, and I was speaking of, we were talking about the 911 or the 119, and I was wanting to look at how 48, there was an episode in Star Trek Enterprise, which kind of was one of those, it had the time traveler dude as the captain. I'm trying to remember his name now, of Star Trek Enterprise. Did you ever see
which,
that show?
No, look, I'm a bit behind, but when, is that one of the
Scott
later ones?
It has Scott Bakula.
Scott Bakula. Okay, yeah, gotcha. Yep.
Okay, so it was in that series, and the episode would have been episode or season one, episode 19, which is your 911 or
911. Yeah, they all do it too.
Acquisition.
They all do it. At least TV series.
Yeah, and it was called Acquisition. Oh no, go for it. Anytime you want.
I'm just saying you'll be baffled when you start looking at these TV shows that it'll be series one, episode 19 or episode season 3, episode 3.
Right.
There'll be something big in it.
Oh yeah. So then we got this one, which is called Acquisition, and acquisition is the idea of taking something on. But also this is that the two Ferengi, and remember the Ferengi are these characters that have the big like creased foreheads. They're really ugly. Well, they were giving them, you guessed it, 48 hours.
Really?
So that's where the 48 ties in. Yeah.
Jeez, you're good, Dave. You really do notice these things, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. And then you also have, of course, 48 Hours, which is the so-called Murphy comedy, where he does that stupid laugh.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is supposed to be, and I'm like, come on, dude. Oh, and they also have the old, and that's the movie that introduced the Masonic kind of, it's always.
A good movie. There's nothing like the great
movie. Hidden
in
Plain Sight. Yeah, the old banana in the tailpipe. Remember?
That's right. Yeah.
And then so that has the double entendre meaning. You know? Because it was the buddy cop, and what that deals with is it deals with beyond kind of just the movie. It deals with two completely different characters than coming together, which is really this same idea of where you have where this world, this realm has to push together the truth and the fiction so close as that it would fool even those that claim to be paying attention.
Right, gotcha.
That gap I'm talking about. That's you have to pay attention to the hysteresis, because sometimes that gap is so small that unless you're looking for it, you might miss it.
Yeah.
All right? And then... Also, 48 hours would have been like that investigation show, 48 hours. It used to be, at least in the United States, that they had a 48-hour show where they...
A TV news, not current affairs thing. Yeah.
And it would be called 48 hours. So then I wanted to... that's kind of how that ties into the same, really the same idea as this Harangi, Hagenti demon. Because, yeah, it's given you this idea of... It's also in movies, not so much spoken about, but if they're going to show you a magic circle, let's say Eyes Wide Shut, one of those, and you're going to see they have candles, this is going to be the one who's represented by red candles.
Right.
If you're dealing with a, because it's going, so this is going to be a red candle and also dealing with the moon and Mercury. Now we talked about the moon last week with silver.
Yes.
So that's where the tie-in is. Do you see how it touches that? Even though this week we're talking about cadmium, which is a different metal, but it touches in that it deals with, at least in the so-called occult or magic or Enochian magic, all that, it deals with the moon and Mercury.
Yeah.
Now and then also Bast, which is the idea of the Beset, which is the Egyptian so-called goddess. You can see now that while they identify this Agenti demon as a male so-called, that it also identifies as a goddess or a cat goddess within the hoax Egyptian, which is completely made up, just so you know. All the hieroglyphs, all the Egyptian stuff, all of that is completely made up. And
they just accidentally found the Rosetta with a rose in it, the stone, and tripped over it one day.
Just tripped over it one day, and it's like that.
I've seen that. I actually went and saw that at the British Museum, and it's a tiny, you hold it in your hand, and my goodness gracious, it was just the perfect little thing just to turn up at the right time when they needed it.
Well, they had the King Tut exhibit go to L.A. when I was a kid, and I saw it.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't let you, no flash photography, all that stupid stuff.
And no touching. I'm walking in
there. Yeah, I'm walking. They had them in these glass cases, so I'm walking by it. And they had the headdress, the famous headdress that you would have seen. And I looked at that thing, and I knew as a kid it was junk. I knew it was junk. I looked at it, and I said, I'm looking around at all these so-called adults looking at this thing, like with their jaws open and touching each other. And I'm looking, I said, that thing's junk. It literally looks like it was made 20 minutes ago. You know, maybe is the paint even awful. Dry? Let me get in there and check the paint. You know, come on, man. So I saw that when I was a kid, man. Oh, and also it deals with Scorpio, because I know I meant to tell you, you're into kind of like star signs. So if you want to get really specific, this 48 deals with the from the 25th to the 29th degree in the sky or the representation of Scorpio. So that's of course your 7 into your 11.
Interesting.
Your 7 idea into 11 idea, and of course your 7 is mentioned again because it's the 7 of cups, because this is a minor thing. Once you're dealing with these minor characters, you're in the weeds, man. You're in the omelet. You done fallen for it, you know? So you're in the omelet when you're dealing with all this stuff. So that once you're in this, they're going to have you all over the map chasing so-called a Roman or a Greek or an Egyptian or a this or a that. Or some other power,
Syrian.
But they're all talking about the same thing.
It always looks the same thing too. It always has a very common denominator, and that snake and the serpent things always through them every time. Yeah.
Well, it's like describing you, Rick. It's like, okay, you're Rick, but someone can describe all these different aspects of your character, but they're still describing you.
Yeah.
That's all that this other stuff is. That's all that this other stuff is. So if you look at any type of building that's being dug from the mud, that's a pre-flood building. That simply means that if you remember that that there's a first creation in Genesis 1,
yep.
And then you have the children of Cain that then go intermingle with those people and they start making cities. Well, all those cities, so those are going to be repurposing what was already there from the first time around.
Yeah,
They're not starting over because they already kind of know where shit's at. So they're just going to be repurposed what's already there. And if they can reuse it, they will. If they can't reuse it, they won't. That's all.
Yeah.
And then just get rid of whatever's inconvenient. And of course, add in what you need to. Let's think of this as a lot of us think of it as like dentistry. Because when I did my first video on the Egyptian hoax or even on the Mexican pyramid hoax, it's not as if there's nothing there, but there were mounds there because a lot of early art shows mounds and then all of a sudden they start showing pyramids. So then if you think about capping a tooth, think about something that's there that's been, let's just say, destroyed through water. And the water's now gone and you still
you
have
a
shadow
or
something.
Yeah, you come along and put your bit on top of it.
Yeah, you put a cap on top.
Yeah.
The tooth's rotten inside, but you just put a cap on top and you make up the story. And remember, this is really important. Remember I told you there are no pyramids in Egypt. And even the ones that are there, they're not pyramids because there's no top. There's no capstone. So they're oblong cubes. Because you have to look at them in the... A pyramid's a very specific shape. The name has a meaning. Meaning it's got to have a point. It can't not have a point. So the fact that they don't have any points, that they're flat on top, makes them oblong cubes, which really, in essence, makes them another version of a monolith. But you have to think of it.
Yep.
Yeah, but you have to think of it as a monolith in time. So as it's going or sloping to the top, you're looking at it as it's going into time or back into time or forward into time. Really doesn't matter. But you have to see it in motion. It's because it is in motion. It's a continuing story, which as long as they're there and they're around, they'll continue to, quote unquote, find things to present to you because it's an ongoing narrative. It's a gift that keeps on giving. It's literally a monolith standing there and people go and they worship before these monoliths or cubes. A monolith's nothing more than an oblong cube or a square, just like going back to the puzzle box. If you're playing with it, you know, and then you get your desires. If you want to go over there and think that all this stuff happened,
Hellraiser.
You'll see into those piles whatever you want to see into those piles of rock.
Yeah.
And you'll go to a so-called star fort, and instead of walking around saying, you know, that all these stories that they're talking about couldn't have happened in this space. It's just not going to happen in this space. One is too small. Once you're there, you're like, no, you just wouldn't do it. Let's say you're a manager, you show up at the star fort. You're like, okay, we need you to protect everybody against these ships or whatever. And you're looking around, you're like, well, this isn't going to work. One, we're too far away from the water. You know, is there something, you know? So that's why I told you, you just got to take what you're looking at and just delete what doesn't make sense and then look at it for what they're actually showing you. And then once you see the spiritual kind of, the occultic combinations you see from all these buildings, it's really a holdover from the first go-around, the first pre-flood.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Some of it's a holdover. Some of it's repurposed. Some of it's quite brand new, meaning that it's just really just a remade attempt without any type of spiritual power. None. Like there's no power any longer related to the so-called Statue of Liberty or any of those, because the characters in this realm have forgotten how to use it. There's no power there anymore. The shapes are there, but there's no power. They can't use it anymore.
I bought this book recently. It's a great big, it's probably the 70s, but it's called Washington from the Air. Mm-hmm. And it's basically just they've got a hot air balloon or whatever, or a plane or whatever, and taken photos. And the above version is completely different than the ground version. It's you'll see all these it just happened to be this, you know, they form patterns everywhere. So it's
interesting. Just like with the Vesica Pisces, that goes around the Washington Monument.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
you're
wait,
listening to Bongversations 48. Be back.
No matter what your age,
you're listening to Conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now, back to the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
Conversations number 48, and Dave's talking about star forts and as above, so below, and maybe not split sometimes. It can be all sorts of different shapes.
It's best to and even also to walk these places, any type of plane.
Yeah.
When you walk it, you feel it because you're at a different place literally on the plane as you're walking. You're moving.
Yep.
And then that's kind of where these fields are they're trying to capture energy, which is what these different fields capture. Like the Vesica Pisces around with the Washington Monument in the middle. And you remember, now if you can imagine in your mind the Vesica, so the two circles forming the
vaginal entry.
Yeah, then the hole, or then the stick, or the monolith. Or what do they call it?
Yeah, it always happens just to be just the big. There's a great big pole always quite close to a Vesica Pisces, in real life.
Yeah, and it's sitting right in the.
Oh, you just dropped out, Dave. Sorry, Dave, you just dropped out a little bit then.
Oh.
Maybe.
Okay. We back?
Yeah, we're back. All good. I'll let you know though if you lose more than 5 seconds.
Okay, for sure. Yeah, so that's the gap between there. So the pole, if you look at it from above, you won't see it from the ground, but if you look from above, it's sitting directly in that gap. Now, that gap is what we talked about. The gap is the hysteresis. Is the story. That's
exactly.
Actually where the story lies. That's the pole you're dancing on there, princess.
And the Hellfire Club.
Hellfire Club. You're dancing for these Masons, and they're all belly laughing at you dancing around that thing. They call them gentlemen's clubs, if you can believe it.
Yeah, I know. I believe it all right. And there's one in Ireland, the original, I think the first one that they know of is still around. It's all based in rock, you know. Like, it's actually, I don't know how much it is, but it's in a cave somewhere in Ireland. It was the original first one. And then the Americans had one in wherever it was.
Well, if you go back to the songs that go back to this Anunnaki group that kind of winds up helping with the song, so you know, the for Fort McHenry, is that they're talking about Jove. They like to Jove is the idea of the false love character, is the fallen love. It's the because Jove is one letter away from love. The J is replaced with the L.
Right.
It's also so then Jove they speak about as a god character, because that character is also just a manifestation of the Satan character.
Jehovah.
Yeah. And they swear by old Styx, Styx, river like the river Styx.
Interesting.
By the old Styx.
Yeah, interesting.
And
big
so
band that, in the and, 70s, big band in the 70s, if everyone remembers the band Styx, Styx.
Oh, yeah. And then these characters also, then they speak about the myrtle of Venus and Baracus's vine. Baracus's vine that ties back to Washington's monument. That's not a grapevine they're talking about, just so you know.
Interesting.
These guys are something else, man. Well, and so that also then ties in with the Hellfire Club and all those groups. They're all the same, and they just kind of become your Mason groups and of that of today, or even today they have the correspondence dinners where they have the so-called Monsignors of the Catholic Church together with the politicians all cracking jokes. That's all part of the same thing. It's all just costumed. Here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
You got a dude who's standing in front of you.
In a dress.
Who has a bunch of young men, you know, cavorting around him, putting on his hat, buckling his... It's like, dude, you know that's not right. You know that what you're doing is not right, worshiping that dude or even listening to what that dude has to say.
Yeah.
You got
to. It's frightening. But, Dave, it's frightening to see that how many people accept this as their guy in between God himself and you. Is this guy in a dress wearing an acorn on top of his head with a whole lot of young men hanging around him? I mean, it's not quite right.
Yeah. And the thing, Rick, is that just the hypocrisy that you have to swallow, literally.
Oh, yeah.
Swallow.
Oh, yeah.
In order not to see what's going on. In fact, I'm at the point now where where I see people if you look into any of this stuff from any angle, you can look at it from the news side, from the space side, from the war side. You can come in at any angle. And once you've gotten to the point to where the so-called leader of whatever country you're from lied to you and the so-called government of your country lied to you, once you got to that point, I shouldn't have to pull you out any farther. You should at that point be to the point to where you're like, dude, this is all, you drop everything. Because you, at that point, you should have had it. Because how often would you put up with that situation in any other aspect of your life?
No, you wouldn't.
So then at this point, I'm asking, and this is important for those that are men and women and have families and have children and have those coming up. Yeah, you might sound like the crazy guy and you might be put to the side. But guess what? At least you didn't lie to them.
I got that. I've said to my children, you know, that I can only tell you what's right and what's wrong, but it's your decision.
Yeah, that's all you can do.
But
don't pretend. Don't come here and pretend like you didn't hear me tell you that last week.
Yeah, exactly.
Because then your only other option at that point is to come back to me and say, oh, you told me this last week, and then here's all the work that I will present to you to refute it.
Yeah. That you came up with, not someone else, that you came up with.
Yeah, show me your work, show me your footsteps. And of course, the thing though, and what happens most is just generally the shutdown. It's just like a computer program. You get the blue screen and then they shut down. They get the blue screen and they shut down, and then they wake up the next day, reboot.
Reboot, control alt delete.
Yeah, control alt delete, and then back at it. So then what's interesting about all of this is that you can take a look at even at the numbers or the names given to the so-called demons or even the anagrams within the names, even if they're not even the for example, heating, because heating is in fact, the process in computing, just so you, one of the biggest bottlenecks in computing on getting to the next level as far as speed and all that is getting heat out of there. That's your biggest problem is all computing causes heat. And the faster
and that's why the fan industry and water-cooled towels now is all part of that, yeah?
Oh, I did glycol cooling. I used to overclock my CPU. And I used to overclock my RAM chips. I used to be a big time gamer geek when I was doing my company, Invisible Eye Studios.
Fantastic.
Because I had that game called Cat's Eye, which was went nowhere. But I'll tell you,
it fits in with the show, with the cat logo in Egypt.
Well, what happened? Yeah, it sure does. And what happened was, is I wanted to go to the what was called E3 in Los Angeles, and it was an insider convention at the LA, you know, down in LA, but you had to be invited, and in order to get invited, you had to be part of the business. And of course, I wasn't. I was in semiconductor, but not gaming. So what I did was, this would have been 1998. I made a website, and this would have been on something called, I want to say, right before GeoCities was allowing me to make a. So GeoCities, I made a website, kind of just four pages. I made I was the president and CEO, and then my buddy who I wanted to get a ticket for, he was the vice president and CEO or whatever. We just made up the titles. We put up our backgrounds, and then we did some basic work into the game that would have been called Cat's Eye. And the meaning behind, or the game would have been, that you would have played in the first person shooter type of view, which is kind of like you're seeing from your eyes. From the point of a cat, meaning that you could go around the neighborhood.
Fascinating.
So that was the whole plan. So when I got to, they invited us, of course, and then I get there, and then, man, what a time, because there was no kids. So that was when you could go in there and play games and actually look good, because otherwise the kids would have come in and just beaten you to death. So I went ahead and I submitted the game. I talked to the guys about it, and they're like, nah, that's not going to work, no good. And then so Animal Planet comes out probably 3 years later.
Well, that's why it happens.
And then there was another game that came out really close to mine later, several years later, where you literally played a cat running around the neighborhood, just like I had imagined, and you're in the first person.
Coincidence? Coincidence? Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, we'll just take that from you, fella.
Exactly.
Thanks for the idea. We'll see you later.
Thank you. See you later.
Yeah, but that was some good times. That was because Taiwan had a pavilion all themselves, and man, did they have some interesting stuff.
Oh yeah,
they would bring more than just games. They would bring all kinds of interesting electronic stuff. And if you've ever been to Asia, one of the nicest, Tokyo's got a very nice electronics market, which you'll see some stuff that you haven't seen anywhere.
Yeah, I do believe so. Stuff. Yeah, that's why two of my children, Japan is their favorite place, and they've been there a couple of times. Yeah,
it's a good
particularly
time.
The gaming
Japan's
stuff.
Interesting. Yeah, Japan's interesting. If you go down some of those back alleys, there's lots of little shops back there, and little bookshop. Let's just say it's an adventure on itself.
Vinyl, if you're after rock and roll and music and vinyl, go to Japan.
Yeah.
Check out the wall.
Yeah, quite fabulous, interesting place. Keep going.
You're doing some really good stuff on the show, I can tell you now. My interest has peaked.
Yeah, so then looking at how the 48 just recently happened, with remember when they did the hoax hostages coming back home from Israel from the ceasefire?
Underground for 2 years. That didn't look like it to me.
It was like, who are the 48 is what the headline says when they were introducing them. So it's the 48. It's a high level. This 48 is a high level introduction.
Yeah.
You know, into the abyss, quite literally, if it's a hoax. Because you're splitting that baby, right? You're splitting that eight. You're splitting it. Four by four, four goes in eight, two. That's your two of the concern. That's your 11. So that's, you're right at the next week when we go into 49. You're dealing with kind of like the crown at that point, or what's going in your head, just like with the Liberty, how she has, or he, I should say, has the seven spikes on the head.
Yep.
Seven. I shouldn't have to mention that. Seven, which is the idea of Zion or mind.
Have a drink. So have a drink or have a smoke. One of the two. But if he says it, it happens.
So the thing is, if you pay attention to the seven, It's giving you, it's always going to be there and all of this stuff. And then you just have to look at the intent. And I look at the intent of most of this is to bring you into a false concern, which is splitting this baby.
Yeah.
Because if you split the baby, you wind up with two. And then guess what that is? Now you have a split mind. You have dual concern, and then both don't even exist. That's the rough part about it. Not only have you split the baby, but now you're looking at two things that in the beginning never existed in the first place. So then what type of act did you commit to even get to that point? That's a pretty big act.
Well, it fits in very, very similar to my big revelation this week when just looking at your reply email to me, you know, saying that you'd been hit by the Royal ID thing and it slowed things down. And I went, when I get a message from you, I always go, I have to look at it in five different ways. I go, is it this? And I went, Real ID. And all of a sudden it hit me, the id, which is the subconscious, and it's the lowest form, and it is the way that we're being taken into this this false dichotomy is the id, and the real id is nothing more than the real id, which is, you know, as you said, if it says it, sounds it, spells it, it is it. And id is just by coincidence the if you reverse the, as you said, is the episode 47 I don't know, 49 rather. So that'll be next week.
Yeah. We'll so next week the id ties into next week. The idea of the 94, the I and the D.
Fantastic.
And the 4. Flip it. That's your 49.
And I can't wait for this one.
49 into the mind, man.
Yeah. Well, it's there. It's right in front of your face. And it was in front of my face. I've been looking at Real ID, all this ID stuff, and I kept going, there's got to be something bigger, and then bang. When you said it, I went, wow, that's it. It's id. You're going into the id.
And we're going to go even, and then it keeps going and going and going.
Fabulous.
Because now you're dealing with, now we're getting into the framework, because this is where people's, their freedom's lost at this point. Because now this is where their body is going to be fully invested in this. It's done at this point. This is the last time to jump out before you have to actually take the ride.
What's the first ride in Disneyland that we talked about on the very first episode? Or was it the second episode?
Toad's Wild Ride.
You're going on Toad's Wild Ride with the real ID.
This is that last exit. You know, you have the coward's exit that you could get out before you go around.
Yeah, you can jump.
Yeah,
off.
So you can get out here because now you have to decide: is this a true or is this a false beam? Is it this that you're pulling out of the well? Because remember, we're pulling it out of the well. So that water, just like we talked about with the Sumerian woman with the water, it's like if you knew who this was offering you this water, then you
wouldn't take it.
Yeah, so you would or you wouldn't, depending on who you're. So then that's your choice you have to make. This is the time to make the choice. Do you take
it? And the time is now. I can't reiterate this when people keep. Everything's a simulation. No. You're being offered the choice now. Get off the ride. Get off the ride.
And remember, we talked about the 65, and we talked about the Agenti character and being
Agenti,
65. In simple gematria and being the same as 7 today and Janus. But it's also the same as, remember when we talked about the Avalon back when we talked about the fires in L.A. We talked about Avalon as well in that episode. And then it also is mental, M-E-N-T-T-L. So it's mental. This is that place. So straight across the board, all these different ways you look at it, it's going to show you the same. It's going to show you the same question. Do you take it? Do you take the bait or do you not? You know, and you've had, so now we've gone from one all the way to 48. So you have all this, as this thought's been built, it was first introduced at one, now it's up to this point. This is where you do it or you get off the pot, you know?
isn't it? But when you think about it, like how we just suddenly, you know, ended up doing the one show, we got to 48, but it's actually fitting in exactly at the right time to be, you know, right now with this real ID ever being offered to you, wherever almost wherever you are in the West. Actually, Vietnam, they've signed it up there. It's all over the place. We're talking about a major thing.
Here's the thing though about the script. The script already tells you that the beast system will cause all great and small to take the mark.
Yeah.
So at some point, and here's what I also noticed is that you're going to have a big increase of petty pickups.
You're listening to Bong with Station 48. Be back right now.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Bong Station 48, we're on the last kind of bits of the revelations from Dave J in Arizona.
Garbage time.
Yeah, it's garbage time.
It's garbage time of the show, the last few minutes.
well, you keep
well, whatever else you got, throw it in.
I'm done. But I mean, I'm just, as I kind of mentioned to you during the break, the show's been really good. This is a really one of the better shows we've done. I always say it's better than the last, and this is better than the last show. And there's 48 on truthmeets.com. You got 22, and Dave J's site. You've got the actual YouTube from 23 to 46.
Yeah,
all there. And a lot of people are listening, Dave. A lot of people are listening, and I'm really glad about that.
Oh, me too. Yeah, I'm having a good time with that. I like to do the videos too with.
They're good.
Kind of like when I talk with Percy in the Discord, and he talked about the Star Fort, and we talked about the actual 48 days that was so it was already in the script of so-called history that this connection was made, and I was like, man, that'd be great to do that, and then the
fantastic, well done, Percy.
So, and what I like about doing the videos is adding in. Like I'll add in pictures so that people who hear it, they'll see a picture and they say, "Oh, now I get what he's talking about." Because once you see these star forts for what they are, and once you've even looked through any, you don't even have to read all these different grimoires. You just look through them, whether it be the Lesser Key or whether it be what's his name's work, the Enochian magic.
John D.
You're gonna see all the same exact patterns I'm telling you about, and then if you just overlay them, then you're gonna see whatever powers being instructed at that point. Remember that the circle or the circled square, the circle is going to be the one. A circle is nothing more than a one that's connected on the end. Because if you broke it, all right. So that's the circle of protection idea. So everything's taken from a circle.
Interesting too that we're talking about mountains and everything, but on Olympus, but the Olympic logo, the five circles,
right?
Bit some of this stuff as well.
Yeah. I did a video on the five circles where I did an art video where I built an art piece, and I think I'll put that in the background. The golden ring is the first that's produced, and then you'll see from the golden ring, which is that first three golden ring, the golem, kind of like my precious.
Yeah,
that's that first time you grabbed it. That was the 30. That was way back in show 30. If you want to take a look at that aspect of it, of the thought, but once that ring's grabbed, then remember, just like in the Lord of the Rings, once the ring's put on, then the Frodo or whoever put it on, their mind starts to expand.
Yep.
They start to see visions, things change. They become invisible to the world. So then that too, because when you chase one of these hoax stories, you're invisible to the real world. To what's really happening, because you're existing in a fantasy world.
And Charlie Kirk, I'll just mention that one.
so that's your fantasy world that you're now living in. And going to the idea of coming soon is where you have, and we talked about this before, where you have the full immersion in the data space is that when you see these different so-called high-tech characters talking about that man is going to be living in space by a certain year,
Elon Musk, I'll just bring that name. Yeah.
It's not the space above your head. It's the space between your ears.
Yeah,
and it's the 100%. Space it's going to be the space presented on these AI devices. That's the space people are going to be in.
Yep.
And so you'll have lounges. Where people go and they sit and they just go into these worlds for 2-3 hours and then get vibrated awake, like bzzz.
Yeah.
You'll get your arms vibrated when it's time to come out. Otherwise, you'll just be sitting there. You know, just be a bunch of reclining chairs with people with eyeglasses on, with those things on, all in their own world.
The Oculus.
Yeah. Because you'll have shared experiences, so that even though you'll be sharing experiences with the person next to you in the room, you won't be with them. You'll be with them in the cyberspace.
Yeah.
So you'll be sitting in the chair in the room with them, but you won't be with them at any point, literally, because you'll be completely enveloped in the game.
You won't be in the now, and you won't be on the real world. We can walk outside and pick up a flare and smell it and actually get your synapses tweaking. You're going to be getting an artificial everything.
But you're also going to be going, a lot of people are going to be going to work in there, like literally going to work.
Oh, yeah, I believe that.
They're going to be making their paycheck. They're going to go into work in the cyberspace at a job, meaning they're going to go to a job and they're going to produce code or whatever that the
product. Yeah, can you imagine it? Yeah. Yeah. Can you imagine? But I can see that happening, Dave.
Going to happen. Yeah, because everything in this, anything in this place can be made into currency. You do a job now and you get paid a certain amount for it, because that's whatever the agreed upon value is. And there's going to be those that want materials that are only available in so-called cyberspace or on the net, and you'll be producing those, or whoever that person is, because it goes on now. You can sell in-game armors and things like that for all these different online games money, man.
For real money, and I know, because I know I've got a 21-year-old who is almost 50-60% of his life, maybe more, in cyberspace, and he loves it. And I can't say anything about it because I helped him. I actually was the guy that actually sat him on my lap and let him play Clifford the Big Red Dog in 2005 or whatever. I started it. It was my fault.
So you'll have an online marketplace where you walk in and there'll be a dude behind the counter, which is a dude that's sitting in a chair somewhere with glasses on. And you'll be like, hey, man, do you have a character for Star Wars Galaxies? You'll be like, yeah, okay. Uppity squat. But it's all happening. It's going to look like you're in a store, but you're in a computer animation, which is why, like, let's say with Lawnmower Man, I wanted to bring this up because this is important too. Remember when Lawnmower Man first gets, when he gets the shot from Dr. Angelo? Remember when he was at the beginning? Oh, hi, Dr. Angelo. And he was just kind of this kind of goofy guy. And he gets the shot and he starts to, in these different,
he turns into
starts showing.
Everything
and
starts
comes
happening.
Into the Rico Suave kind of character.
Yeah.
But as these different images are being shown to just the viewing audience, you see that the patterns get more advanced or more intricate. They start with a pentagram or simple squares and things. And then as they get more involved, he becomes so-called smarter.
Awake.
Or awake, or more in tune with wisdom, but this wisdom that he's getting is not true. It's a false wisdom, which is coming from this character. In fact, Hajenti is the one who offers that, because Hajenti is the bearer of the false light of Lucifer, meaning that he's the one who whispers in your ear these type of things. So when you're talking about technical advances, this is the exact cause of it. Because you have the light of Lucifer, but that encapsulates everything. Everything. This particular characteristic or force or nature is what whispers the technical into someone's mind. Or somebody like Zahid Hawass. somebody, let's say that somebody like Zahi Wahzini.
That's the Egyptian antiquities.
Yeah, antiquities. And this Joker's been around a long time, but if you take a character like that, if you think that that character actually thinks he's doing something, he is under the influence of this exact character we're talking about. He's been given this so-called, this wisdom or knowledge that, or gnosis in particular, that, because not all knowledge is gnosis. They're different things. So this character is giving him that to where he's speaking as if everything he's saying is true, even though everything he's saying is nonsense. So he could be, and that's the definition of the useful idiot.
Notice the use of that imagery is the Rosicrucians have been utilizing this since I can remember, seeing these posters on the wall in a cafe of a pyramid and this amazing light behind it. It said, Rosicrucian, you want to know the truth, you know, this is where you're going to find it. Go to this meeting, coffee meeting. But the Rosicrucians utilized that imagery big time for the last 50 years.
Well, yeah, it's also the representation of the first way in, because you have the one, you have the two, which just makes a straight line.
And note the ankh. The ankh is the big, which is your anchor into this lie.
Yeah, and the three, which is that golden ring, is your anchor.
Yeah,
because that's the first time you can create a loop.
Of course.
One, two is the straight line. The three is where that first time you can loop. 3, 6, 9, 3, 6, 9, 3, 6, 9, 3, 6, 9. Boom, 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 and all the way up. And that's why it keeps compounding. And that's what, and so they'll take you on a ride. The Rosicrucians, they'll take you on a ride, just like the Masons and the rest, through these different levels, only to tell you at the end that the mystery is not for them to say.
To tell you.
To seek. Yeah. So you could have told me that on day one, man.
Exactly.
But they charge you. But the thing is, it's such lowbrow stuff that they charge you for these different degrees. Because as you know, that these different, all of them across the board have three levels, which is just like the Statue of Liberty is on three levels it's on three levels going up. But the degrees are if you point your finger straight out from your body and just go around in a circle. They're not up or down. They're straight out. So that's the difference between levels and degrees. So you have three up and you have 32 around. If you're looking at, if you're going to draw any of this stuff, and this is how you kind of learn to do any of this stuff, is actually by drawing this. You actually have to draw pictures. That's the only way. So when you start this, when you go around the different patterns, you're going to see, in particular, like tonight we talked about the Statue of Liberty, which has the 11 points. So then each point to point, is 32.7 degrees, 30, and a little bit of change after the seven, but it's 6-7. So you see how it kind of winds back up. But you can see now that it, you have to be precise, and as you do these, that's what makes up what's called the star charts and things like that. And so then these are actual, and what star charts are nothing more than schematics. They're nothing more than schematics, very much like an electrical schematic, because these powers, like the power represented by 48 is not the represented by 47 or 49. They're not the same.
No.
Or 50 is not the same as 49 or 51. There's going to be connections or similarities, like the silver we talked about, how that leaks back into 47. But because remember I told you that with the 47th problem, it's like Euclid. How do you balance the two irregular shapes on the point? That's what that gap's about. Well, that's what all of this is about, because you only need a fragment. You only need a fragment to get yourself all the way up or all the way down the ladder, if you know how to use it. The fragment, because remember, the fragment of the hologram in itself houses or holds the entire image, if you can see it. And everyone here, everyone listening has the ability to see it if they choose to. If instead of just not doing anything, just kind of letting things happen, if they need, is instead just, if you're going to involve yourself with any of this stuff, which is listening to news or radio, if you're going to do it, or if it's in the area, just listen. Just open your ears and just listen for the words don't matter until you hear the numbers. Start listening for the numbers.
Yeah, 52, once number yeah, seven.
Listen, yeah, listen to the numbers, and then once you hear the number, then start to listen to the words they're using. They'll start to use certain names. Once you know the names, then associate the names with the so-called story, and then you're going to know what the intent is. What feeling are they trying to get you to either emote or to internalize?
Yeah,
they want you to feel something, because if the mass. The mass of the ass, if the mass can be moved, you know, with the M, the ass follows. it all goes to the same place. So that's this whole idea. So that's why, although there's no reason you got to get involved in any of this complication that we're talking about, it's only for those that already know that this place is a realm of deception, and that they shouldn't be, attached to it emotionally, that they should simply be observing it, and because you can only observe it and help others out if you know what you're talking about. And yep. So that's really the only reason why you have to pay this close attention. You can always just as easily just dismiss the entire system as a hoax. Nobody died, nobody got hurt, and walk away. That's also a way to do it.
I'll just say the name Charlie Kirk again for those. There's a lot of people obsessed, and it's almost going into the level of Kennedy. Not here, but in America, I can see it, and in parts of England, they are just going on and just repeating, and asking the same question, and then offering a solution. But you did it. I think that about 2 hours after he got shot.
Yeah.
I did a show afterwards, and I had enough to say, okay, yeah, nobody died, nobody got hurt, and I moved away, and I don't sit there dwelling on it. But you can become a cellar dweller if you want to analyze this kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, when I see certain ones, I know that that's going to make a particular impact, and if I know it's going to go past a day, some of them last an hour, some aren't even seen. But I knew that one was going to go a minute, so
you got a thousand people on their YouTube. It's sold because people looked at it, and hopefully those people moved on and didn't sit there dwelling.
That's another thing I want to know. It's like, I've been doing this for a while, you've been doing it for a while, and yet we keep running into the same names, the same people.
Yep.
If there's so many people, and I see these different, where did all those people go after they saw that? They saw they got lied to about a guy getting his neck shot out. They saw that the president and the Congress and all the different senators and Congress, they all lied to him. All of those people lied to me, and yet,
and then his boy
walk away from war. That?
No.
Yeah, but they didn't walk away from. They did. It's like literally everybody in power lied to you about this guy getting his neck blown out, and that wasn't enough for you to just toss the whole system away.
No, it wasn't, because I'm looking and I'm seeing and I'm commenting that this has got people tangled up in figure eights, literally, it's just literally wasting their lives debating something that you should have just looked at it. I think you did it about 2 hours after it happened.
Oh, yeah, I did, yeah.
Now, that's all you needed to know, and you can just move on and have a look at something else. Go and smell a rose if you can find one.
Yeah, I remember Sandy Hoax when I did Sandy Hoax. It was still breaking. It still had the breaking news banner on the TV when I got on.
Well,
and I said, nobody died, nobody got. And then I went into the gematria of the names and all that different stuff, and so, because it's never been different, it nothing changes, Rick.
No, I totally agree. And the longer I speak to you on these shows, the more I see that there's people out there that they've seen your production,
yeah,
but yet they'll still talk about it. And here, what's the point?
What's it? You know what it boils down to, and I'll tell you what it boils down to. It's very simple. It boils down to the Christ Antichrist.
Yeah,
that's if I was an atheist, I would be on all these different shows.
Oh yeah,
guaranteed. Like weekly.
Oh, yeah.
Couldn't get enough.
Yep.
But then
I could name them. I'm not going to, but yeah, there's a few there that won't have you on.
But as soon as you make that connection, as soon as you know what is actually true.
You're listening to episode 48, Bongversations. We'll be back just a Jay, we're just back for the last part of Bongversations, episode 48, where Dave is absolutely just doing some amazing stuff, absolutely amazing stuff. And Dave, yes, go on, sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, if you've ever wanted to look at the different way you can look at tarot cards and things like that, especially with the number as you're getting higher and higher and see how those are actually used and why they've been around so long. Like the idea of the 48 is you would look at the major fourth card,
Arcana,
the major eighth card, and then you would look at the minor, combine them, and then find the minor. And then it's the reason that a lot of people don't even do this type of stuff is, no matter what, Rick, it's work. Even if you're looking into this type of stuff,
oh yeah,
work. you got to draw stuff, you got to write stuff, you got to put pen to paper.
You got to use your gut instinct. That's why when I get a message from Dave, I look at the words in it, and I have to go, what did he mean by that? And then it's happened before when I got that thing, when I was Bitcoin. I was like, what does it mean? What does it mean? What does it mean? A year, 2 years went past. And when you sent that message and you had the bit with the word E in a brackets, I went, bite. And it's the Sharon's or Charon's Obel legend of the bitten coin. It's in the River Styx. We mentioned the Styx before, but I got that from you
just earlier tonight.
Yep, I got that
from
you.
By the way, remember that? Yeah. Oh, yeah,
yep,
you sure
yep,
did.
Yep.
Yeah. So the thing with Rick is I'll usually, with words, is if I'll usually hyphenate them, or I'll put brackets around
something,
them, or I'll do something.
But it makes, because we know the English language has got codes, it's coded everything. So I look at your writing and I go, what does he actually mean, or is there a there, and boom, I find it. So fantastic. Dave, I think we'll wind it up now.
Oh, yeah.
I'll leave one last little hint.
I'll leave last one. Some have heard it, but not all have heard it, that I state for a fact that what's known as English, or what sounds as English, is in fact the first language. It is the first
language.
For
sure. Yeah. So they got scrambled after the Tower of Babel incident.
Yeah. And now it's all coming back. It's all reconjoining.
Numbers and letters.
So we'll do the English language at some point. And then, you know what we have to cover is, because they're going to be coming into vogue sooner rather than later, is catch people up on the Noahide laws. Just to kind of let them know on what they're going to be getting themselves into here soon.
Maybe you should mention that next week.
Yeah.
Maybe.
All right. All right, Rick, that was awesome.
Hey, man, Dave, you've done it again. It's been a really interesting show. And the Starfort stuff, you got to stick that in the title, I would say, because either way, it's been one of the better shows we've done since the last one, which is only 1 week ago. Anyway, and Dave, I'll stick a piece of music at the end of it. I'm going to use as a electronic kind of weird song that the Genesis, the band, did in 1982, just an instrumental, but it's a really cool song. It's called The Brazilian, and it's that kind of music, though, is, to me, makes you think. I love this instrumental, electronic type weird stuff. It's not electronic, but
I like that you said mental because mental equals 65. Just
there
like
you go.
Our Argenti character.
Argenti.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
That's
fascinating. All right,
good
Dave.
Stuff, man. Well, I'm going to head to the green room.
I'll see you in the green room. All right. Thanks.
Be blessed.
Be blessed.
Cheers.
Bye.